Dámy Shtubad, Pramhang Supravad, Kichara Sidrasati Sissimati, Nandi Swami Swami Grace, Sesi Bhaktan Swami Shilu Prabhupada Ki, Grantarat Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki, Gaur Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, Chapter 12, Birth of Emperor Parikshit, text number 1. Shaunaka uvacha.
Shaunaka uvacha.
Ashvata.
Ashvata.
Amnopa shrishtena.
Amnopa shrishtena.
Brahma.
Brahma.
Shirshnuru.
Shirshnuru.
Tejasa.
Tejasa.
Uttaraya.
Uttaraya.
Hato.
Hato.
Garbha.
Garbha.
Ishena,
Ishena,
Ajivitaha,
Ajivitaha,
Punaha,
Punaha,
Shaunaka uvacha, Shaunaka uvacha,
Shaunaka uvacha,
Ashvatam no pasrishtena,
Ashvatam no pasrishtena,
Ashvatam no pasrishtena, Brahma sirshno rutejasa, Brahma Shirsno Rutejasa Uttaraya Hato Garbha
Uttaraya Hato
Garbha
Uttaraya Hato Garbha
Ishena Jivitak Punaha
Ishena Jivitak Punaha
Ishena Jivitak Punaha
Shaunaka uvacha
Ashvatam no pasrishtena
Brahma
Shirsno Rutejasa
Brahma Shirsno Rutejasa
Uttaraya Hato Garbha
Uttaraya Hato Garbha
Ishena Jivitak Punaha
Ishena Jivitak Punaha Shaunaka uvacha
Shaunaka uvacha.
Sage
Shaunaka said. Shaunaka
said.
Ashvatthamna.
Of Ashvatthama.
The son of Drona.
Upashrishtena.
By release of. Brahma Shirshna.
The invincible weapon.
Brahmastra.
Uru
Tejasa,
by high temperature,
Uttarayaha,
Uttarayaha,
of Uttara,
Uttara,
mother of Parikshit,
Hataha,
Hataha, being spoiled, Garbaha,
womb,
Ishena,
Ishena,
by the Supreme Lord,
Ajivitaha,
brought to life.
Punaha.
Again.
Again.
Translation of purport by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The sage Shaunaka said, the womb of Uttara, mother of Maharaj Parikshit, was spoiled by the dreadful and invincible Brahmastra weapon released by Ashvatthama. But Maharaj Parikshit was saved by the Supreme Lord. Purport. The sages assembled in the forest of Naimisharanya inquired from Suta Goswami about the birth of Maharaj Parikshit. But in the course of the narration, other topics, like the release of the Brahmastra by the son of Drona, his punishment by Arjuna, Queen Kunti Devi's prayers, the Pandavas' visit, to the place where Bhishma Dev was lying, his prayers, and thereafter the Lord's departure from Dwarka were discussed. Jai Shishi Gauritai Ki Jai. His arrival at Dwarka and residing with the 16,000 queens, etc., were narrated. The sages were absorbed in hearing such descriptions, but now they wanted to turn to the original topic, and thus the inquiry was made by Shonaka Rishi. So the subject of the release of the Brahmastra weapon by Ashwatthama is renewed. Shonaka vacha Ashwatthama no pasrishtena brahmashirshno rutejasa uttaraya hato garba ishena jivitak punaha. The sage Shonaka said, the womb of Uttara, mother of Maharaj Parikshit, was spoiled by the dreadful and invincible Brahmastra weapon released by Ashwatthama. But Maharaj Parikshit was saved by the Supreme Lord. Oma gyanati vrandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuramitam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chetana mano vistam stapitam yena bhutale svam rupam gadamayam padati svapadantikam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 12, text number 1. Sometimes people get a little bit bewildered when they hear Bhagavatam because it's not exactly chronological. Things are coming in from this side, from that side. And you can see how Shukadeva Goswami, as the perfect preacher of Krishna consciousness, he's going with his inspiration. He's going with his heart. So that means the principle is important. The application, the practical detail, the form, that is not so much important. If a mundane scholar looks at Srimad Bhagavatam, he gets bewildered because he says, this doesn't make sense, you know, the way how this is structured. This is not making any sense for my mind. So generally what they do is either they ridicule it and they despise it, or they just leave it aside. Because what you don't understand, you don't want to deal with it, you know. If you know, I don't know the game, I'm not playing it. So, because they cannot go with inspiration. Why? Because they have no inspiration. They don't have this devotional sentiment. But Shukadeva Goswami, who was a self-realized soul, he was going with his inspiration and also with the response from his student. Maharaj Parikshit, he asked these questions. So he had different things which were of interest to him. And he related to his audience. So if you want to know what is a perfect preacher, you have to study Srimad Bhagavatam. You have to see that exchange between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. Because Shukadeva Goswami didn't just roll in there and just said, okay folks, this is how it is. Boom! No. But he very perceptively saw what is his audience. Okay, there were so many people there, but his actual audience was Maharaj Parikshit. These other people, they just happen to be there too. Just like when you're preaching, sometimes there's other people around and they, you know, they hear, they listen, they may interject, but you're actually just focusing on that one person and you're really trying to get your point across. So, if you want to build up your Brahma Tejas, your potency, your Brahminical potency as a translator, as an editor, as a devotee, as a preacher in Krishna consciousness, these are all synonyms for the same thing, you know. We're not one or the other, but they're all different synonyms for the same exact thing. Then, we have to study Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no way around it. Otherwise, you won't see the forest for the trees. Just like Einstein was taking a train, and the conductor asked him for his ticket, and he didn't find his ticket, so he really felt embarrassed. So then, the conductor said, you know, we know that you're Einstein, and we know that you're a respectable gentleman, you don't just want to take a free ride. And we also know that your school has enough money to pay for another ticket, even if you lost your ticket. And he says, yes, but that's not my embarrassment. My embarrassment is that if I don't find my ticket, I don't know where I'm going. In the same way, you might study a language, you might study Shastra, you might be in the right place at the right time with the right people. But if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Which basically means Once you build up your knowledge, what are you going to do with that knowledge? If you look at Sringi, if you look at Ashvatthama here, they were very qualified people. They had a lot of power. They had a lot of potency. Ashvatthama, he could release a Brahmastra, which is a nuclear weapon, and nothing got destroyed but the target. Not even Uttara, the mother. But inside her womb, the embryo was affected. Why? So much heat. So much potency was there. So sometimes you feel like you're practicing brahmacharya, you're doing all these tapasyas, you know. Tapasa, brahmacharya, jena, shamina cha, damina cha. I won't, you know, go into all the Sanskrit. You know the Sanskrit. So you're building up all this potency, but then the heat inside your body also is increased. Then the question is, what are you going to do with this heat? You have to release it. Otherwise, it will turn against you. How will it turn against you? It will find a release. Just like I have a guest house in Mayapur. We had a problem with water on the roof. You might think, oh, it's just a small thing, you know. We had a roof, it was fine, but then we decided to put red sandstone on it. Now there's two problems. One problem is that red sandstone is not waterproof. The second problem is that it's very heavy. So the more heavy it got, underneath there was corridors. I know we might not be architects, but bear with me just for a second, we're getting to the point. There's too much weight, so the whole structure tilted a little bit on the sides. So there was fine cracks, where underneath there is the walls for the corridor. So, you know, fine cracks develop. And you know what happens? Water finds its way. Even if you have a fraction of a hair, water will find its way. And after some time, we had like waterfalls coming down on the third floor, on the walls. We had to rip the whole sandstone off. We had to rip the whole stuff underneath. There was like, you know, between 1 and 2 feet of surki. You know what surki is? It's lime mortar, you know? Crushed bricks with lime mortar. All that had to be dug out and taken off and hauled down, you know, by the Indian method of construction. Then we had to clean it. We had to waterproof it. We had to build a slope. And we had to put roof tiles. And again, there was a small fraction and they had to redo some part of it. So that just shows you that you may have all the potency, but if there is one weakness, Maya will find that weakness in your heart. Whether it be pride, whether it be lust, whether it be egotism, whether it be separatism, fault-finding, independent mentality, Maya will find your problem, your personal problem. It's your problem. Why? Because you own it. So, and she will exactly feed you that thing which will make you weak and which can destroy you. Unless there is some real purification taking place. Now, how does purification take place? We know in this age of Kali, the Harinam Sankirtan, Kalir Dosha Nidera Janasti Eko Mahat Gunat Kirtana Deva Krishna Semukta Sangha Parambraje. This is the purificatory process. This is the process for cleansing the heart. We may do these other things too. We may do the study, the deity worship, all these other things. But unless, the Harinam Sankirtan is happening, these activities are not complete. And even if you only do Harinam Sankirtan, and you don't do any of the other activities, that is complete. Prabhupada used to say, you might just close the temple down, you leave one person behind for taking care of the deity, everybody goes out on preaching. Just like you might think, oh, I'm here at Govardhan. I cannot preach. I cannot distribute any books. Well, that is wrong. I got news for you. December marathon is coming. It's only a few days, a few weeks away. So in case you're wondering, what is my chance to preach? Okay, I'll study here for a few years and then I'll translate some books and then devotees will go out and distribute these books. But you have 24/7. Just straight across, you know, just outside your front porch. People are, you know, going on the mark 24/7. So if you want to preach, if you want to distribute books, you just take a little book table, you put it out there, you know, you may talk one of your friends, like the guy who where you always buy sweets, or the guy where you always go and use the phone to call, you know, your relatives. Then you say, you know, can I put once a week a table out here for a couple of hours? And because you give them business, they will say, sure, no problem, you know. You help me, I help you. We're friends, right? And then you put your table there. And you have all these people who are rolling by there. And it's not that they're all self-realized souls. It's not that they're all just out there, you know, for the sightseeing or beggars. There's a lot of people who are actually inquisitive, you know. They're out there to do the yajna. They're out there to get purified. They're out there to get Govardhan's mercy. But can they get Govardhan's mercy without the mercy of Govardhan's devotee? Now, we do not claim to be Govardhan's devotee, but we know somebody who is, Srila Prabhupada. Huh? He gave up all comforts of living happily and peacefully at the lotus feet of Rupa and Sanatana in Radha Damodar. And he gave up eating, he gave up sleeping for translating Srimad Bhagavatam. And he went to the west on a boat with a few boxes of books. So, for us it's vice versa. We come from the west and we are now here at Govardhan. But it doesn't mean we cannot do the preaching. Preaching is right there. Huh? And these people, they have questions. Why? Because they're suffering. You may not have realized it because you're a brahmachari and you know you get fed your two or three meals a day. Your life is fair and square. But life in the material world is no joke. People are suffering out there. It's not a fun place to be. People just lost between 30% and 80% in their stock. You know what that means? Whatever they've accumulated, you know, just half of it is gone. If I'll tell you, okay, I'll take half of your clothes away, how will that make you feel? Huh? A little bit in anxiety, right? Not too much, but a little bit. A little bit inconvenience. But to a materialist, money is more dear than his life. So they just lost a lot. So many are coming out to perform parikram, and they're looking for answers. They're looking for inspiration. And not everybody is able to tune into the bhav, to tune into the mercy channel of, you know, Govardhan. It's on 108. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Not everybody is that fortunate. Many people, they still see the cars and the beggars and the dogs and the monkeys and the pigs and the stink, and they just still think, you know, okay, I got to do this somehow or another. But if they see a devotee of the Lord who is truly knowledgeable and truly compassionate, who is utilizing his Brahma Tejas not to make other people's lives more difficult, you know, rules and regulations should be there to uplift and to help people, not to make their life even more difficult. Otherwise it's stated, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharata Kimvidimina Aikantike Harer Bhakti Rupataya Kalpate. If you're not following exactly Shruti Smriti and Puranas, what happens? You just create a disturbance in society. Like you see so many people who are doing so many strange things, and people just get disturbed. Because there is no harmony, there is no loving exchange. It's just different types of power games, different types of extortion and of manipulating. So, if you have built up your Brahma Tejas, always remember to be in the Sampradaya of Brahma Mata of Gaudiya Sampradaya, Shukadeva Goswami, of Srila Prabhupada, who are Titikshava, Karunika, Suridhar, Sarvadehinam, Ajata, Satra, Shanta, Sarva, Sadhubhushana. These are the signs, the ornaments on a devotee. Not that we know everything about something. We can also try to do that. But even if it doesn't happen, don't be too disturbed. Learn how to do your service and get on with your life. Don't be hung up on the form. Be concerned with the principle. Prabhupada told some of the early devotees who went to preach in Russia, told Harikesh, you know, he has to go there. And he said, but Prabhupada, there is now no food to eat. All they eat is meat. And he said, then you eat meat if you have to, but go and preach. So the point was clear. Also, what was it? Vashishta, in times of hardship, used to eat dog's flesh. Was it Vishvamitra or Vashishta? Vishvamitra. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty harsh, isn't it? Can you consider eating dog flesh? Not exactly, you know. Maybe if you have Korean lineage, then it's, you know, somewhat understandable. But for the rest of us, dog flesh? What are you talking about, you know? We only live on Govardhan Mahaprasada, you know. But if you have to give up your false ego and do your service for Guru and Krishna. Now, many of you, you will go back to your respective countries at one point in time. And then you can't be concerned with form and style. You can't say, yeah, but in Govardhan we did like this, or in Govardhan we did like that. They will say, you know, what? They don't know that place. So you have to be practical. You have to understand the principles and be able to apply it in time, place and circumstance. And that's exactly what Srila Prabhupada did as the perfect preacher of Krishna consciousness. He was 70-year-old, perfect sannyasi, perfectly situated, doing his bhajan, doing his writing, but he decided to give that up to spread Krishna consciousness, to take it to a whole different level. And that's why we got Krishna's mercy, and not of any other reason. Not because we're fortunate, not because we're, you know, pure or we're qualified, at least not for my sake. So because devotees ask me, you know, Navina, why do you distribute books after 25 years? I mean, you've been there, you've done that. And I tell them, well, number one, it's my service. Everybody has to perform devotional service. This is what I do. This is what I am. So I do it because of that. Number two, it's the purificatory process. It really purifies me. I feel that I am getting intensely purified when I'm facing the people out there in preaching. Because there's no way you can stay attached or you can stay bewildered or you can stay confused when you're faced with the heat, you know? The heat brings out the real qualities. Like if you turn on the heat, usually things just polarize, things just separate. So you have to turn on the heat of preaching and then we'll see what happens. And number three, it's fun. Everybody needs fun in Krishna consciousness. You know, you need to have a life. You can't just be a dry bone. Otherwise, you become brittle and you'll crack up at one point in time. You need to be submerged in the ecstasy of practicing and sharing and spreading Krishna consciousness. So, everybody may have so many reasons. And you may quote from a book and you know all the things which are there in Shastra. But people will ask you, okay, but what's your personal reason? Why do you do what you do? What gets you going? What makes you tick? And then you have to know, why am I doing what I'm doing? So make meaning. You have to know what is the meaning of my life. Then you make mantra. You make a mantra out of it, a sutra. Like we have these sutras on Sankirtan. I don't know, you have sutra here in your school? Not just the Sanskrit sutras, but like in your practical life, you know? You can make up some sutra. It's like my sutra, you coined a few phrases. One is consciousness creates reality. Your consciousness is creating reality. I see it happening every day on the street. If you think this person has got no money, even though he looks respectable, all of a sudden he's like, oh, you know what? I left my wallet at the office. Or my wife has my money, you know? I can't give you anything. And then you're like, oh, damn. Why does it happen again to me? And I can tell you why. Because you thought that he has no money. And because your power is so strong of your mind, you project that into that person's thinking. You may have people who are perfectly interested and perfectly qualified to take the book. But all of a sudden your mind preaches to you and convinces you that no, they're not sincere, you know. They cannot take this. And all of a sudden they weasel out and they just, you know, it all fizzles. You have to give people the benefit of the doubt that they are decent, that they are respectable, that they are actually nice people. You can't go on preaching if you don't like people. Just like that brahmachari is going door to door begging alms, and at one point they person said, yeah, wait a second, and went back and got the ashes from the stove and poured the ashes into his begging bag, you know, begging bowl. Now we would have just taken our bowl and thrown it in that person's face, you know. and said, ooh, you know, sit down, you know, do Achman, chant mantras and curse him, mighty. No. He was just saying, thank you so much. So then that person got bewildered. Why? He said, today is the first day I ever got something from this house. So you have started the process of giving. You have started the process of giving. Sometimes all people can give to you is a smile or a Hare Krishna. That's all they can give. They cannot take the book. They cannot give a donation. So then you have to take that graciously. And the next time around, they will be able to speak with the devotee. The next time around, they will be able to take the book. So it's a incremental process. It's a gradual process. And we should not be bewildered. We should not fool. Of course, we know Maharaj Katwanga and others, they have surrendered to Krishna in a moment, in an instant. But they have perfected the art throughout their lives so that at the moment when it counted, they were able to make the right move. So consciousness creates reality. Create your own sutras. Oh, this morning with Vaisheshika Prabhu, we were joking. You know, I told him that either I do yoga or die. That is that is my sutra. If I don't do yoga, my system shuts down. My body just says goodbye. And so you have to coin your own sutra, your own mantra, and then you meditate on that. So I was just now preaching in Australia and Indonesia and Bali, and a few realizations from my travels and preaching. I was in Canberra, the capital of Australia, and I met a person who was 60 years old, and he looked like out of a fairy tale, like long white hair, long white beard, half bald, you know, really not a pretty sight. Maybe, you know, Vyasadeva was looking something in that direction. So he was doing work at the garden for prasadam, and so he asked me, okay, I have a problem, I want to speak with you. I said, okay, bring it on. And then he said, you know, I have this problem with sex desire. And I expected anything but this, you know. I was like, man, get a mirror, you know. Look into your face. I mean, see reality. You're an ugly bastard, you know. I didn't tell that, but I was thinking like that. So then I realized, Maya is so powerful, you know. You're 60. You're on the verge of death, you know. One foot is in the coffin. You look as ugly as hell. You know, I mean, kids get scared. They'll just run and scream in the opposite direction. And you still think, oh, you know, I got the moves, I got the class, I got the money, you know, I can pull it off. Isn't Maya amazing? Isn't she, like, really something? I thought, how ironic, you know. So there is no age for Maya. Just like that famous Brahmin advisor with the emperor, and he went to see the person who was dying. Just watch the eyes. If you're attached to Maya, no matter what age, no matter what bodily form, no matter what's your social position, you can still be in Maya. No doubt about it. Just like I was distributing books in Perth, in Western Australia, and one person was watching me, and after 5 minutes he came over to me and he said, you know, I've watched you. I know what your secret is. You just pick all the pretty girls. And I thought, well, thank you for that. That's why a lot of people don't like preaching. Because people will preach to you. And they will tell you things which you don't like to hear. But it's the truth. Sometimes you get into a rut, you know. You get into a pattern and you can't break it. Or you think, oh, only the businessmen, they have the money. Or only the young people, they're very interested. And in this way, Maya captures you and plays with your mind. And then you have to be able to catch yourself, assess the situation properly, and correct it. But Krishna is telling you these things through other people. But if you don't want to hear what the Super Soul has got to tell you, if you don't want to hear what the other devotees want to tell you, then you have to learn it in the full contact sport, you know, K1. With Maya, you know, she does full contact. And you have to learn it the hard way. But you are here in a very special and very exalted environment, and you can work on your mind and on your intelligence so that you're able to catch yourself before you slip. You know, in Satya Yoga, if you had the thought of a sinful activity, you got the karma for it. Boom. It's right there. You think of something sinful, bam, you know, it hits you. In Kali Yuga, we'd just be suffering. We'd just be suffering all day. So, right now, we have to make that conscious decision to really study the Shastras with the proper focus, with the proper perspective of becoming a preacher in this Krishna consciousness movement. And it's all there in Bhagavad Gita. Dhyayato vishyapumsang tangutsangasteshu vijayate. You just study Gita very carefully. And you learn how the game works, how material world works. And if you don't believe the Shastra, just take a chair and sit out there on the mark and just observe. You just sit and you observe. Sometimes I'm stranded in an airport for a couple of hours because delays, cancellations, this, that. And you just sit down and you just observe. And it's very, very interesting what's going on, you know. The games people are playing and the whole thing. So, you have this luxury. Don't take it lightly. Maybe already tomorrow you're back somewhere in a not so spiritual, not so nice place. And then what? We'll be able to persist, we'll be able to continue in your Krishna conscious sadhana and in your practice and preaching of Krishna consciousness? Or will you get enamored by the form, by the details, by the externals? Shukadeva Goswami was all principle. He walked around naked. He didn't bother. There was no social convention for him. He sat down and he spoke. He saw, this is my disciple. He's inquisitive. Let me give him the knowledge. There was people in the audience who were twice his age, who were very much senior, who were very knowledgeable, very learned. But he did his duty. Why? Because he was Krishna conscious. So in the same way, when you absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness, you may speak to people who are three times your age, who have a million times your money, who are this, who are that, but you're not concerned by the externals. Why? Because it's a heart-to-heart exchange. And that's what we're looking for when we preach Krishna consciousness. We don't just give stereotypes. But like Shukadeva Goswami, he saw what is the audience, and he gave the audience what the audience needed. In the same way, we don't just go out there to hear the sound of our own voice. I know that's very pleasing, to hear the sound of your own voice. But just try it once, like chanting Hare Krishna. Just record yourself. Record a class or your japa. And then if you listen to it, you're like, whoa, this sounds terrible. Who is this arrogant fool? So, you know, so it's called self-assessment. Usually you have that assessment should be done on a daily and on a regular level by oneself, but you have peers also. And you have mentors, you have superiors. So that assessment is invaluable. It is of topmost importance. Otherwise, you end up, you know, not seeing the forest for the trees. And that's very unfortunate. And you may know books, you may know grammar, you may know up the wazoo, you know? It won't help you a thing. Why? Because Maya has found your little crack and she has went right for it. And you fell over. Boom. Then I was in Bali distributing books, Indonesia, and I was in a mall and I gave a book to a person. I said, this is about yoga, meditation, karma, reincarnation. You heard of these things? He's, yeah, but I'm not interested in that. So then you could say, oh, okay, next one. But I asked him, okay, so what are you interested in? He said, I'm only interested in spiritual life. I want to realize God and be in union with God. And I said, wonderful, thank you very much. So then this is not the right book. Let me show you this one. This is exactly what you're looking for. And he was like, whoa. Totally. So sometimes we think in stereotypes. If a person says no, that means get lost. But usually no means I'm confused. Can you clarify? Can you put that in perspective? Or I'm bewildered. Or I'm just not impressed, you know? This is too shallow. no may mean a whole lot of different things. Sometimes no means no. Sometimes no means if you don't move, I'll pick you up, put you down, and walk straight over your face. So then you have to get the message. But a lot of times no just means, is there a little more to it? Like that? Just like Ashwatthama, he was properly trained. He had the power, he had the potency. But when we go out and preach, is our preaching able to penetrate the coverings? Just like Ashwatthama's Brahmastra was able to penetrate the womb of Uttara and just reach Maharaj preaching. So is our preaching actually reaching the soul? Or are we just dealing with the surface? Are we dealing with the material conditioning and with the whole defense mechanism of that person? Huh? So people put out their defense mechanism. Like when Ravana was fighting Ram, he put out all these illusions and all these different type of things. But Ram just took up his arrows and cut right through it. But that is only possible if we have pure chanting. Otherwise, there is no potency. If we don't have pure chanting, and we're not studying the Shastra with the purpose of preaching, we'll not be able to touch the person's heart. So let us get absorbed more and more in this practice of Krishna consciousness and give Krishna consciousness to others. And then things start to make sense. Right now, you're in the beginning stages. We're all in the beginning stages of a Krishna consciousness. So things, we don't perceive the full picture because it's just huge. You know, this thing is much bigger than you and me and all of us combined. You know, this is huge. And the preaching mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is massive. And we may not yet have realized what is my role, what is my contribution to this mission. So right now, it's sharpening the tool, you know. It's getting your edge. You have to have an edge. Just like when you play sports, it's not just about your physical stamina, but it's much more about your mental state. Huh? You have to have the edge. You understand that saying? Have the edge? You have to be sharp. So that when the moment comes, you're able to do the right thing. And that only comes from pure chanting. And honest relationships. That you have those sharing and caring moments. That you open your heart to others. Otherwise, if you just think, oh, we're just a legion here of mercenaries. We're just, you know, gold diggers. We just come here and we absorb a little bit of something. And then we go out and we do our own thing. But then it's not going to happen. You have to build real deep friendships in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you're not going to last. Maya is just going to blow you away like a leaf plate on the Parikram Marg. The monkeys come and play with it. Why? Because she's too powerful. If we don't take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, Maya will just brush us over like a little leaf. There is no choice. We only have two options here. Sometimes we think, oh, life is all about options. I want to know all my options. That's fine, fair enough. But we got two major options. One is Krishna, one is Maya. And we don't always necessarily make the right choices. So let us make the right choices. Let us stay in the association of devotees and preach Krishna consciousness. And let's make a difference in this world. You can make a difference. Everybody can. The question is, do we want to? The question is, are we up for it? Or are we just happy being comfortable? So you have to go out of your comfort zone and practice a little bit of austerity. You may think, oh, I'm living austere life, that is austerity enough. No, but that's mainly austerity of the body. Yeah. Austerity of the mind and austerity of the soul is to go out and face circumstances which necessarily you don't want to do. So when you go on Harinam, you go on chanting the holy names and not just not look right, you know, Maya is there, it's very dangerous, let me just pull through. And people look at you like, you know, where are these people coming from? But if you actually go out and you look people in the eye and you chant, Hare Krishna! And they also look you in the eye and they also say Hare Krishna, and you can feel like, you know, that the Lord is there and there is a connection. And Krishna is pleased. There's a big difference in this type of Harinam or the other type of Harinam, where you have like, you know, depressed little bunch of Talibans, you know, doing their little thing. No. It's about... I mean, people... Basically, it's like this. You gotta know, you have to have real, you have to have taste. You can't beat it. People take one look at you, and they look at your face, and they say, I don't want to end up like you. You know, if I buy your book, will I get the same kind of a sour face like you? No, thank you. Why do you want to hang out with the cool people? Because they have the stuff which you want, right? That's what it's all about. So that's why our first and foremost duty is to be happy in Krishna consciousness. If we're not happy, we can't spread that happiness to others. If you go on the Parikram Marg and you're just harassed and hassled, then you feel like, you know, why bother? But if you see a pujari, like there's one just before you enter Radhakund village, there's this little temple on the left and on the right hand side, I don't know all the names, but you know, little black eyes, really deep, and he just goes, happy, happy, Hare Krishna, happy. You know? That's all. You know, it's not money, it's not this, it's not that, it's just, you know, he's just there in his zone. So you have to be in your zone of Krishna consciousness. Then you can pull anybody into your program and get them absorbed in your program. That's the thing about preaching. We don't get absorbed in people's program. We get them absorbed in our program. You know? Because everybody lives in their bubble. Yeah, but we have to grab them and get them into your bubble of Krishna consciousness. We're not interested in messing with their conditioning. We don't go and deal with their material, you know, situation. Otherwise, it will all be on the surface. But just like Ashwatthama, he was a very powerful person. But still, he made the wrong choices. And that's why he got, you know, that's why he got hammered. In the same way, you may have all the potency, you may have all the potential, but you still have to decide to use it in the proper way. Otherwise, if you use it for sense gratification, for personal egotism, pride, oh, I'm so expert at doing this, that, and the other thing, it will come right back at you, you know, like a Brahmastra weapon which is released but which doesn't find its target, and it will come and it will burn you to the ground. It will destroy you. So, it said a little bit of knowledge is more dangerous, you know, than a whole lot of ignorance. So, you're practicing knowledge, and that is wonderful. But always know who is, you know, Jnana Gyeyam, what's that verse? Jnana Gamyam? What's the object of knowledge? What's the source of knowledge? What's the goal of knowledge? Who knows that verse? Yeah. So, always remember those things. Always remember where the potency comes from. Who is the master of the potency? Just like when I go on to Sankirtan and I'm preaching, Krishna gives you unlimited... Krishna Shakti Vinayata Pravartana. Krishna gives you unlimited amounts of energy. But then, what do we do with it? Do we think, oh, just see it myself, how I wonderfully distributed this book to this person? Then you become proud. And the next person will just put you down, you know, or will just not take a look, one look at you and just walk the other way. But if we take that Shakti and we offer it again to Krishna, then Krishna gives you more Shakti and you offer it right back to Krishna. Whatever you get, you offer it right back, right back, right back, right back. You can build such a tremendous potency that you can just go and you can just blow people away, literally blow them away. But the question is, do we do this just because we're a magician and we can bewilder people and we can, you know, do our tricks? Or do we do this as humble servants of Guru and Krishna? That's the question. That's the bottom line. And as soon as we get hooked onto the potency, it becomes like a drug and we become addicted and we need the high, we need the flash, you become, you know, a junkie for it, then you really go through the ups and downs. Then Maya really has got you tied. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? We got 3 minutes. Yes?
You spoke about everyone has his own break. Maya can be great. So what to do when we understand
Same thing like I had to do with my roof. You have to take away the conditioning and you have to do the waterproofing. There's no chance. You have to just dig deep till you hit concrete, till the slab comes, you know? You have to go really to the soul. You have to go down to the basic bare foundation. And then you have to put the waterproofing, the coating of Krishna consciousness. And then you can build on that. But if you don't have that foundation, like the most important thing in any building is the foundation. If you don't have that foundation, everything will crumble, no matter what you build on top. You can even try to build a little house out of, you know, play cards. If it's on sand, it will just fall. It will just, you know, a little bit of wind comes. But if they're doing those skyscrapers, you know, 100-story buildings, because the foundation is there, and the whole, you know, structuring is done in such a way, it'll stand. And don't be so proud, oh, this is my unique crack, you know. You're not very special. We're just insignificant, that's all. But that should be very refreshing, because it really frees us of all the material obligations. You had another point?
Yeah. Can you give us some more sutras?
Oh, there's so many of them. There's dozens of them. But you have to come up with your own.
What are working for you that you think might be helpful for us? Just to give us some ideas, you know.
It's personal. I can tell you so many things. You have to go out and do the yajna. Krishna will tell you your own. Basically, it's like this. You have to be ready to put in the time. You know, any endeavor, anything is, you know, 10% knowledge, 10% inspiration, and 80% perspiration. You have to be ready to put in the sweat. Like here, this thing, you know, you can't wing it. There's a whole lot of data. You have to get the knowledge. But the knowledge is not, you know, is not doing anything. It's like you might have a big, big, powerful computer, but if you don't know what to do with it, you know, like most of the people, even devotees, they buy computers which are like 5 or 10 times too much powerful, you know, for doing a little bit of email and, you know, checking a website or something, or run, you know, Word document. You don't need a $2,000 or $3,000 computer, you know. You can do that with a pen and a piece of paper. So, the question is always, what's your aim, what's your goal? So before I get absorbed in details, find out what's the motivation, what gets you going. So that's why you have to sit down today, today's your day off, right? And you sit down and you write down, why am I here? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And what's my goal? What's my short-term goal to the end of this year? And what's my long-term goal for the next 3 years or 5 years? Where do I want to be? And then you make an action plan, how you can achieve that goal. And you show it to somebody who's got, you know, a brain functioning. And you get their feedback, their input. And then you start to working towards that goal. Krishna consciousness is not just, you know, touchy-feely, feel good, you know. Of course, we are into feeling, you know, and Krishna consciousness, and like Radhana Maharaj yesterday he spoke that, you know, we want to have that devotional sentiment for Krishna and for other devotees. Because that's, if you study Shastra, that's what it's all about, you know? The Lord's devotees, their exchanges amongst themselves and with the Lord. But we can't do that if we don't realize our true nature. So many sutras are there. But they're not for sale. Any other points?
Thank you for this wonderful class in the week of Gonga. This week we reintroduce the Harinam program.
Yes.
If you could please give your blessings.
There's no blessings required, you just have to do it, you know? Kartas are there, Medanga is there, manpower is there, you just have to walk out there and do it, do the yajna. All the you know, why and when and all that, you can figure it out. I mean, why should be clear. If the why is clear, then the who, when, where, and how, that you'll figure that out. But if the why is not clear, why should I do this? I'm already chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah, we know that. Wonderful. Great that you're chanting Hare Krishna. But there's a whole lot of people out there who are not chanting Hare Krishna. And they need to hear you chanting Hare Krishna. That's why. Then you'll figure out the rest. So you just go out and do it. That's what it's all about. Don't find any excuses of the mind or of the external situation. Where there is a will, there is a way. These people want sense gratification, they figure out a way how to get it. That's why people, they always ask me, oh, okay, there should be many books, so what's your trick, what's your mantra, what's your secret? You know? How do you get the money, how do you get the big bucks? And I'm like, you know, people have three question marks on their head when they see you. Number one, who the hell are you? Number two, what's this book? Number three, what's in it for me? How much is not on their mind? Because if I want it, I'll pay for it. If you want that watch for $500, you'll figure out right away how to make that money, how to pay for it. Right? If you want that computer for $2,000, you'll figure it out. You're a smart kid. But the why, that's the important thing. Make meaning. What gets you going? Why am I here? Why am I a devotee? Sometimes in temples I ask, so who feels weird, you know, going out in bed sheets and chanting Hare Krishna on the street? Sometimes half of the people raise their hands. They got a problem, you know? An identity crisis. We have to, who am I? And what am I doing here in this world? Otherwise your preaching will not have the potency. You may go through the form, but it's not really touching people's hearts. Just like I'm flying around a lot, and I always take books with me, because otherwise I always have to let go of my own personal Gita, and I don't like that. Always Krishna puts a person right next to me in the next seat, who just, from Kolkata to Delhi, I had the chief of police of internal affairs, anti-corruption, you know, criminal investigations of whole of India. He was sitting there, you know, real Kshatriya guy, really smart guy. And then I gave him the Gita, spoke with him just about Arjuna, Kshatriyas, you know, boom, 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 the whole thing for 2 hours. And then he was like, okay, you know. So I said, you can have this book. You should give a donation. He was, all right, how much? I said, this is invaluable. He said, yes, thank you. I understand that. How much? I said, well, some people give their whole lives. If you can't do that, just give a million. If you can't do that, you know, like Krishna says in Gita. So I just told him, you know, some people give 500, some people give 1,000 rupees. And you know, he's a government servant, he doesn't get big money. But he gladly gave 500 rupees. So don't think people don't have the money out there. Huh? If you know what they're spending, just go to that sweet shop and see how much money changes hands. If they want it, they'll pay for it. Huh? They don't bargain, oh no, a little less, this, that, no. If they want it, they'll pay for it. Same thing. If I want what you got, I will do and I will pay whatever it takes. So if we know that the potency, the nectar is there in the holy name, just like a hungry person, I want food, I'm craving. So that urgency has to be there. Otherwise, if we are just, you know, nonchalant and not bothered and so-called content, Krishna will not really hear our chanting. It has to be a sense of urgency. In the same way when you preach, you have to have a certain drive, a certain potency. I don't know whether that answers your question. People always come and ask me for, you know, blessings. And I say, I'm not the guy for blessings, you know. I can kick you. You just have to go out and do it. You know? And then at one point, once you're in the practice, then you have to become self-motivated and push yourself. In the beginning you have, you know, leaders, seniors, people there to advise you, to direct you, to push you. But 5 or 10 years from now, then you're the old guy. And you have to push others. And if you don't have that drive, you'll not even get out of bed. You'll think it's fine. I went to Jamastami, I went to Gaur Purnim. I'm chanting Hare Krishna every blue moon, you know. But that's not good enough. We have to have that sense of urgency, that sense of drive. That's what it's all about. And even though the acharyas were supremely absorbed in Krishna's pastime, in Krishna's lila. They had that sense of urgency to share their realization with others. And they were easily accessible, you know, the six Goswamis, they were accessible to all living entities. They weren't just, you know, shutting themselves off from the world. And like if you hear, like, you know, Sanatan, how he was dealing with the inhabitants of Vrindavan, he cared for them, and they cared for him. So in the same way, if we don't develop this true feeling of compassion, of caring for the people, then why should people care about what you want to tell them or sell them or give them? So always remember those points. And look in the mirror before you go out. You know? Would I want to see this face? Would I trust this person? Would I give this person some money? And if it's stamped, you know, 2 rupees or 5 rupees on your forehead, then 2 rupees or 5 rupees is what you're going to get. If you look like a 5 rupee or 2 rupee kind of guy, then that's what you get. You might as well just take your plate and lie down on the road. Just put your plate out. But it's not, we're not beggars. Not to criticize, that's their process, so let them do what they're doing. But we're not out there to fulfill a need, a want, you know. Prahlad Maharaj says, Naivod Vijay Paradurate Vaitaranyas, Tadvira Gaina Mahamrita Mangla Chitta Shacetato Mukcheta Sindhyarta Mayasukam Varamudvato Vimudha. He says, my Lord, for me there is no problem. I'm fine. I'm doing okay. But when I see the suffering of the fools and rascals, the Vimudhas, who are engaged in Mayasukaya, then my heart is pained. So please help me give them Krishna consciousness. That is the trouble of a devotee. Haridas Thakur, when they were beating him, he only saw the pain of his tormentors. And he said, oh, you want me to die? Oh, just watch. And he just went into ecstasy. Oh, I'm inconveniencing you? I'm so sorry. Other questions or points? Yes.
Not the Maya. Maya finds the cracks, you're saying. So how can we find the cracks in ourselves first before she gets us and fix them before the roof caves in?
Well, there's two things. Number one, you have to do a survey. You have to see what is my structure of my life, you know? Is my life built on a solid foundation? If not, you know, you're in bad shape. Like I see devotees coming and all of a sudden they get responsibility and this and that and the other thing and the next thing you know they're gone. Because there's no foundation. So right now you're here, this is the foundational, you know, building. This is, you may not see so much because it's all underground. You may think, who cares? I mean, I built my building in Mayapur and I was like, what? I should put 20% of my money or, you know, a third, no, maybe 20% of my money into the foundation. You don't even see it, man. You know? Why bother? But when you see buildings caving in, then you know why. So you have to really analyze what is your foundation and work on your foundation. Sometimes buildings have structural deficiencies and they have to dig up part of the foundation, put new foundation there. They have to put supporting measures. They have to do different things. I mean, I'm not an architect, but just, you know, to make the point, to go with the analogy, to carry all the way. And the other thing with the cracks is we have to see what are the difficulties, what are the problems I'm continuously running in, you know? Where do I have to put all the pots because the roof is leaking? And then you have to find out where those pots are and you have to fix your roof. Otherwise it's just, you might end up putting your fingers and feet into the walls or into the roof and, you know, you try to plug all the holes but it's just more water coming in than you can keep out. And it's a very frustrating kind of an experience. You get nowhere. It's very dysfunctional. So we have to make a clear, honest assessment. We have to take inventory. Sit down, pen and paper, you know, take your time as long as it takes and take inventory. What are my strong sides? What are my weak sides? What am I going to do about it? How am I going to work on them? And then, you know, you'll figure out ways how to make it happen. And you know what to avoid and which situations to avoid. You know which things just don't click well with your frame of mind. Like that. And just always absorb yourselves deeply in hearing and chanting and in the association of other devotees. Because that will carry over. That will carry over all the deficiencies which are there. That doesn't mean that the introspection, the analysis, and the in-depth, you know, should not be there. There will always be deficiencies because we're in the material world. No endeavor is not covered by fault, you know, like fire covered by smoke, etc. But you'll only be able to carry over those if you actually honestly follow the process. And like Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, like Krishna and Arjuna, the disciple was honestly doing this type of self-assessment. You know, the counseling session was in progress. They were not saying, oh, it's all fine, you know, I'm doing all good here. Just teach me the magic mantra. It doesn't work like that. And then that's why we need peer association also. Because other people see us in a different way that we cannot perceive ourselves. Because we're too conditioned by our own mind and ego and senses. Everybody needs, you know, peer association. And then engage in the yajna. Do the preaching. Whatever I've achieved in these 25 years, it's all by the mercy of preaching a book distribution. Everything. I dropped out of school, I got no material qualification whatsoever. Krishna's given me everything. And he's also given me the intelligence and the detachment that I can deal with it. And that I know when it's time to step to the next level. But that only comes, you know, when we continuously engage ourselves in the process. But a lot of times we're like that pilot, you know, who has to take a few loops before he can actually go to the airport. We're in holding pattern. So right now, you know, you're getting trained and you're in holding pattern. But then once you get the get-go from the control tower, then you have to be, okay, that's it. You know, like you're in a training camp here, but all of a sudden you might be sent off, you know, to war someplace. And then you can't be, oh, you know, it was so nice. Yeah, you know, but that's life, Baba. You have to roll with it. So, the mind is always, oh, I wish I was out preaching, and you don't focus on the study. And when you're out preaching, oh, I wish I would be studying. You know, it's always telling you the mind is greener on the other side of the fence. Right? But that's just the psychology. Because the cow, when she looks down, she only sees dirt. But when she looks across the horizon, she only sees the green, you know. So over there it's green, but here there's dirt. So let me go over there, then it's going to be... If she'd be standing over there and looking down, she would also only see dirt. So the mind has its trick to keep us busy. When we're chanting, we're not chanting really, we're planning. When we should be planning, we're not really planning, we're doing something else. All this multitasking is not working out. We have to really absorb ourselves in one activity, Ekeha Kurunandana, see the eye of the bird, and really go for that. Why? Because potency is less in Kali Yuga. And because our potency is less, we really have to focus it on one single-minded point of attention. Just like people ask me, what is preaching all about? There's two things to it. Number one, you just share your happiness and your joy with others. Number two, you find out what is the weak spot. You may not be a strong fighter, but if you know the weak spot in your opponent, whew, one push, and that person falls over. You find out their, what is their weak spot, their soft spot, what is their interest, what gets them, and you just work on that. And you don't deal with the material condition. But that means we have to give up our false ego. We have to relate to them on their level. Just like Shukadeva Goswami was doing, you know. He really tuned in with Maharaj Parikshit. He didn't have any issues, you know, oh, you know, lousy householder, attached king, you know, you just got cursed, you deserve it, this, that, the other thing. No. He just went in there and was just flying. So, we're far from there. where we can appreciate how it works. Associate with others who you can see that their preaching is happening, and then you, it will happen for you too. And get out of your comfort zone. Do something which ordinarily you wouldn't do, because you know it's the right thing to do. Go out, distribute some prasadam, distribute the holy name, distribute some books. If you want to translate these books and actually, you know, get the true meaning of these books, you have to go out there and distribute them, because that's the true meaning of these books. That's why we do book production, you know, in order to give people the knowledge. It's not just that some intellectually inclined devotees also have a reason to live and, you know, some raison d'être, some existence. No. You could be doing other things. All right. Thanks for working overtime. Thank you for your attention. Hope to see you next year. Please pray for me so I can get some purity and some shastric insight. Srila Prabhupada ki, Harinam Sankirtan Yajna ki, Gaur Premanandi, Samaveda Bhaktavrinda ki.
Some even when you're in the beginning stage of Krishna consciousness, I even suggest that you have any other copies. You know? I mean, we were really professionals, you know, we just got this down. You do what you gotta do if you really zone in on that. Like now, after 25 years, this winter, I want to take Bhakti Shastri because I never was in one place for longer than a few weeks. tell them to sit down.
Because
just one time, I'm going to be late.